Praise the Lord. A reading from the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts, not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the children, even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends, we are from the Divine Vision, continuing a series of reflections and studies on the mystery of the cross. We are doing it in the context of the Lent. Yesterday we saw what is Lent and what the Lenten observance means. Today we are concentrating our attention on one aspect of this Lent. The Lent that is being observed in preparation for the celebration of the Passover mysteries of the Passion, Death and Resurrection of Jesus Christ. This particular aspect we concentrate today on is fasting. Lent is a time of fasting. Fast. In almost all the religions, world religions, the fasting has a very important place in the religious practices. The most known is the fasting of the Muslims. In the month of Ramadan, a whole month they fast, not eating or drinking from the dawn to dusk, in a great preparation, remembrance of the giving of the Quran. And this ends in a great celebration at the end. Very strictly observed fast, a month of fast. The Hindus observe fast in very many aspects and reasons. Those who make a pilgrimage to the holy places like Sabarimala or any other shrine, they make fast. The Sabarimala Tirthadanam or the pilgrimage to the Sabarimala is well known in most of South India. And the people who go on this pilgrimage prepare themselves very, very solemnly, fasting for more than a month, having a particular way of life, abstaining from many types of foods, controlling their passions and their lifestyle. Fasting is a religious practice. The Buddhists and the Jainists also fast for self-control, controlling one's passions, controlling one's life. The understanding is by controlling one's body, one can control the mind. So fasting can be seen as a self-control, exercise in self-control. And the doctors and dietitians also prescribe fasting. The naturopathy and many other medicines ask for a particular type of fasting. Your diet, reduce the intake of food in order to control your body and the organisms. The nature also fasts, and it is seen especially in the northern countries where the end of autumn beginning of winter the trees shed their leaves. They fast and they go on a kind of hunger strike, so to say. They fast for almost 3 months till the spring comes, when the new sprouts come up, bringing in foliage, bringing in leaves that can process the food. a time of fasting. Birds and animals also fast. It is said, maybe a legend, of the eagles, that when the eagle become old and fat and find it difficult to fly, they go on a fasting. They go up somewhere on a high mountain, on a high tree, and sit there without eating, without drinking, meditating, so to say, and fasting. After days and days of fasting, the excess fat will be gone, and it sheds its feathers, and slowly the eagle is rejuvenated, becomes new, becomes young. This is something what Isaiah is speaking about. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 30 and 31, we read, "Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Like the eagle, they shall rise." So this fasting is seen in many aspects as a rejuvenating process, learned from the nature and observed in world religions. The Bible also speaks very much about fasting. Fasting of individuals, fasting of the whole community, fasting for particular reasons, fasting as a sign of repentance and penance, fasting as a preparation for receiving the word of God, a revelation, or fasting to please God or to obtain some grace from God, individuals. And the whole community, whole land might be fasting in the face of disasters, in the face of impending war, invasion by enemies, or attack from outside, or natural catastrophes like earthquakes, drought, or the attack of locusts. The passage we read, the beginning from the book of Joel, pertains to a period when the country was invaded by teams of locusts that covered the land like a cloud. All the green trees were eaten up. So in this great natural disaster, Joel was asking the people, or God was asking the people, to proclaim a fast. Now, let us take a few examples. The individual's fast. The fast of the individual as a sign of grief. Now, one passage that comes to my mind is the fast of David, 2 Samuel 1, 11-12. "Then David took hold of his clothes and tore them, and all the men who were with him did the same. They mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and his son Jonathan, and for the army of the Lord, and for the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword." On the Mount Gilboa, in the fight with the Philistines, the entire family of Saul and the whole army of Israel was wiped out, killed. And this was a time of great grief, sorrow for the whole land. Even though David was hunted by Saul, hated, David did not hate Saul. David knew that Saul was the anointed king of Israel, and his death was a great loss for the nation. And he grieved for his great bosom friend, Jonathan. So as a sign of grief, David tore his clothes and he was fasting. Fasting as a sign of grief. David fasts in another time, as also reported in the second book of Samuel. This time is also a time of grief, but a sign of repentance, penance, and also as a sign of asking God's favor. We know the story of Bathsheba. David was tempted. He committed adultery. He murdered the husband of Bathsheba. And the child that was born out of this union, unholy union between David and Bathsheba, was carrying the curse or the punishment. The child was bound to die. And when the child was born, David knew that God's word of punishment was hanging like a sword over the head of the child. So now he prayed. In chapter 12, 2 Samuel, verses 15 and following, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became very ill. In verse 16, David therefore pleaded with God for the child. David fasted, and he went in and lay all night on the ground. Fasting, laying on the ground, praying, humiliating, humbling himself before the Lord, asking for forgiveness, asking for a favor to spare the life of his child. But the life was not spared. The elders of his house stood beside him, urging him to rise from the ground. But he would not, nor did he eat food with them. On the seventh day, the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, "While the child was still alive, we spoke to him, and he did not listen to us. How then can we tell him the child is dead? He may do himself some harm." But when David saw that his servants were whispering together, he perceived that the child was dead. And David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" They said, "He is dead." Then David rose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes. He went into his house of the Lord and worshipped. He then went to his own house. When he asked, they set food before him and he ate. Then his servant said to him, "What is this thing that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while it was alive. But when the child died, you rose and ate food." He said, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, 'Who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and the child may live. But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me.'" Of the reasons of fasting. Fasting as a sign of repentance. Fasting as an accompaniment of praying, requesting God's favor. And David did not get that favor. All that we ask for, we may not receive. So that is the individual fast. There is other fast we have already seen. Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights on the Mount Sinai, waiting for God's word or doing penance for the people's sin. Elijah wandering from Beersheba to Horeb, the mountain of God, 40 days and 40 nights, not eating, not drinking, fasting. So this traveling and fasting was a preparation for the theophany, for the apparition of God, for receiving message from God. So the individuals fast in preparation for revelation. We see in the book of Daniel, chapter 10, verse 3, Daniel fasting and praying, waiting for God's revelation. So this is a waiting for God, fasting and waiting for God. The Lenten season can be seen as we are waiting for God's revelation. God's revelation through the mystery of the cross, the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So we see not only the fasting of the individuals, there are fasting of the whole community for various occasions, on various occasions, various purposes. One occasion reported in the first book of Kings, chapter 21, the fasting is commanded by the queen Jezebel and for a vicious purpose. Anyhow, we will see what this fasting is. Now, both the farmer in Jezreel had a vineyard which the king Ahab wanted to occupy. Ahab asked Naboth to sell the vineyard to him. Naboth said he will not sell it for no price, not even for an exchange of a better vineyard, because Naboth knew that the vineyard, the land, was not a property that can be bought and sold. There was the tomb of his ancestors, and he was to be buried in that tomb, and there lie with the ancestors to wait for the day. So it was not to be sold. Ahab was angry and Ahab was sad. But then Jezebel, the wife, took the control of the events. And she decided to get the vineyard from Naboth and give it to the king. So in the book of first book of Kings, chapter 21, verses 5 onwards, his wife Jezebel came to him and said, "Why are you so depressed that you will not eat?" He said to her, "Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, 'Give me your vineyard for money, or else, if you prefer, I'll give you another vineyard for it.' But he said, 'I will not give my vineyard.' His wife Jezebel said to him, 'Do you now govern Israel? Get up, eat some food, and be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite.' So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. She sent the letters to the elders and the nobles who lived with Naboth in his city. She wrote in the letter, 'Proclaim a fast and seat Naboth at the head of the assembly, and then seat two scoundrels opposite to him and have them bring a charge against him, saying, "You have cursed God and the king." Then take him out and stone him to death." A public fast proclaimed as a part of machination, treachery, to kill an innocent person. A religious act, so to say, profanated for a vicious purpose, for an evil purpose. So fast can be also such occasions. Even now, there are people sometimes who fast to prepare themselves to exterminate others for acts of terrorism and things like that. So that is also a fast, but not the proper fast. So fasting of the community. I take another example for the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra, written during the post-exilic period, people who came back from the Babylonian exile, and they were in great trouble. And Ezra, the lawyer, understood that the people had committed grievous sins, and he called the whole assembly of people and proclaimed a fast. In book of Ezra, chapter 8, verse 21, "Then I proclaimed a fast." So this is the first fast preparing for the journey to Israel. And there he is asking protection for God, from God, a preparation for the journey. "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might deny ourselves before our God, to seek from him a safe journey for ourselves, our children, and all our possessions." That was the beginning. And then he received protection, came to Israel, and then called the assembly together, making them aware of their sinfulness and asking God for forgiveness. In chapter 9, verse 5 and following, "At the evening sacrifice I got up from my fasting, with my garments and my mantle torn, and fell on my knees, spread out my hands to the Lord my God." So he was fasting the whole day, the whole community was fasting, and at the evening he stands up to pray. A whole community fasting. In the book of Joel, the passage we read at the beginning, see, the whole community is asked to fast. The whole community called for fasting. "Even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your hearts, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning." These are all external signs. Fasting, weeping, mourning, with dust or ashes on the head, with the torn clothes, etc. And this fasting should be accompanied, is also accompanied by the confession of sins. Coming back to the passage of Ezra chapter 9, I continue from verse 6 onwards. "And he said, 'O my God, I am too ashamed and embarrassed to lift my face up to you, my God, For our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has mounted up to heavens. From the days of our ancestors to this day, we have been deep in guilt, and our iniquities, we, our kings, our priests, have been handed over to the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, to plundering, and to utter shame, as is now the case. So Ezra, with the entire community, is confessing their sins. The national grief, the national fasting day, is a day of national confession of sins. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, verses 1 to 3, I read, "Now on the 24th day of this month, the people of Israel were assembled with fasting and in sackcloth and with dust on their heads. Then those of Israelite descent separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their ancestors. They stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord, their God, for one-fourth of the day. And for another fourth, they made confession and worshipped the Lord, their God." A very important way or insight into the fasting. Here in the book of Nehemiah, we see the first thing they do is they fast. They wear sackcloth. They are ready to do penance for their sins. Wear sackcloth, put dust on their heads, and then they separated from the foreigners. That is the changing of way of life. Israelites were forbidden to marry people of other religion, other origin. And during the exile, many people who remained in the land had got into a kind of mixed marriage, marry people of other religions and other customs. And this was a forbidden thing. Now, at the insistence of Ezra and Nehemiah, they have changed their lives. So the change of life is a very important element in the fasting. Abandon your evil habits. Abandon the company of those who may entice you to a sinful life. Change of life. And then confess their sins. Acknowledge that we have done wrong, gone wrong. And together with that, two more things are spoken of here. One thing, they read from the Word of God, from the book. A very important insight for our fasting also. Change the way of life, repent, confess our sins, and listen to the Word of God. What God wants of us, who God is, what God gives us, what God promises us. The Word of God is God's own revelation, and we have it in the Bible. So the fasting or the Lent should be a time when we listen to the Word of God, meditate on it. As one-fourth of the day. And the another fourth of the day, they worshipped. Confession and worshipping God. So this is how the people were conducting their fast. A lot of external observance, not eating, not drinking, putting dust on the head, wearing torn clothes or sackcloths, lying in dust, and praying, also listening to the Word of God. So this is how many of the fasts in the Bible are explained. The same thing happens with Esther. In the book of Esther, chapter 4, we can read the same thing. When the entire nation, the Jewish nation, was faced with the edict of extermination by King Ahasuerus, then Esther starts a fasting and requests his cousin Mordecai to ask all the Israelites to fast and pray to the Lord. So fasting is a necessary accompanying element in praying to the Lord. Now we come to the Christian practice. We also fast. In the church, we have the Lenten observance of 7 weeks of fasting. And how do we fast? The law of the church, especially the Western church, that we fast 2 days, obligatory fast. Fasting can be many in many ways, But the obligatory fasting is you eat only one full meal a day and abandon other meals or restrict the meals. And this one day, one meal a day, 2 days are obligatory in the church. That is the Ash Wednesday and the Good Friday. But this is the bare minimum. There are people who fast more. For example, in the Kerala church, the Zero Malabar church, there are so many fasts. We have what we call the 50 Nomb, Ambadu Nomb, or the days of 50 days of fasting, the Lent. Actually, it's only 40 days. Then we have the 25 days fasting in preparation for the Christmas, December 1st, 24th. Then we have the 15 days of fasting in the month of August, 1st to the 14th, in preparation for the Assumption, the Feast of Assumption. Then we have what you call the fast of 8 days in preparation for the feast of the birth of Our Lady. Then we have 3 days fast. That is in remembrance of Jonah's fast or the fast of the Ninevites. So various fasts. It is said in the ancient times in Kerala church there were 290 days of fasting, and this was a very strict fasting. Not only abstaining from meat, but abstaining from also milk products and fish and eggs, and only one meal a day, and that meal only after sunset or after praying the Ramsha. So this is one way of fasting. And many other churches fast in many other ways. The purpose of the fasting. Why do we fast? We fast, first of all, as a sign of our repentance, that we have gone wrong, that we have done wrong, we have sinned. And we punish ourselves. Take upon the punishment that is due to the sinful act or sinful ways. More than that, the fasting is for a changing of life, change of ways. Asking for forgiveness of God, trying to change the life. Trying to control our own passions, control our own lives. And also, and more important so, in participating in the mystery of the cross, in the suffering of Christ. By fasting and penance, we are participating in the mystery of the suffering and the cross. And that's what we are doing during the Lenten season. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the season of Lent, or season of repentance and penance. We thank you for giving us this season in which we can return to you with all our hearts. Enable us to repent of our sins, to change our ways, make new decisions, and to participate in the suffering and death of your Son through our own fasting and penance, so that we may participate in the glory of the resurrection that you have given us through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.